1 Samuel chapter 15. This is what Samuel told Saul. This is the second time now that Saul rejected God's word. When you reject God's word, you reject the Bible. There is no difference in the two. The word of God and Jesus Christ and your Bible, those are all the same thing. I was watching a man this week. He was making fun of people who say they believe the Bible. And he was a preacher. Bethel Church in Redding, California, what I call the anti-Bethel. Their pastor was commenting on those who hold the Bible in high regard, and he made the statement. He said, "It's not God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible." He said, "That's not it." And I'm going, "You're a liar. You're a liar." When you say God, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, you are including in that His Word. There is no exception when God is never separate from what He said in this book. Can I hear you say amen? Do not make the mistake of rejecting the Word of God. Do not make that mistake, and it will be a mistake, and it'll be an everlasting one for you. Samuel said to Saul, he said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king." And I want you to focus on that issue of rejecting the word of the Lord. And what I mean by that, number one, you are rejecting Christ, who is your Redeemer, your mediator, your defense attorney. The Bible calls Him your advocate with the Father. He is the one who suffered and died for your sins, whose blood covers your sins. He is the one who prays on your behalf because you are not righteous enough to talk to God directly. That's His office of mediator. He is the one who did everything in the world that could be done for you. And when you reject the word of the Lord, you are rejecting Christ because that's who it is. Number two, you reject your Bible. You reject that Jesus talked about His words, these sayings of mine, these words. When everybody in John chapter 6, verse 66, when everybody walked away from Jesus, Jesus looked at the 12 and He said, "To whom?" They said, "Will you go?" He said, "Will you go as well?" And it was Peter who said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And I'm telling you that you hold in your hand the words of everlasting life. If you're ever in trouble, if you're ever in need, if you're ever doubting whether or not you're going to spend eternity in heaven, your answer is right here. Amen? Your answer is in the Word of God. And I want you to think about this while we pray, and I want you to pray for me. And I think I may mention something here very quickly about what the witchcraft is He's talking about. Heavenly Father, I need Your help and Your grace this morning to preach the message that I believe You want me to preach. And Lord, I'm still up in the air, Lord, as to what it is. And Lord, I don't want to go against Your will. I don't want to fight against Your spirit. And Lord, it doesn't matter to me what You would have me preach. And Lord, it does matter to me, dear God, that You will bless and honor Your word as it goes forth. And I'm asking You, dear God, Lord, to have patience with me. And Lord, Father, to have patience and long-suffering with Your people, dear God, while we wait to hear from heaven. So I'm asking You, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, would You come speedily and bless Your people. Bless those that are here. Bless those that are listening online. Bless those that are out in the street there in Kenya watching. Pray, God, Lord, that You would give them Your grace and Your mercy, dear God, and help them, dear God, to feel, Lord, as though we are gathered together as one, in one faith, one baptism, one calling, and one Lord. Father, Lord, bless Your word today, this morning, and bless Your servants, we pray, in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. And amen. Back in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, if you're not familiar with the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul was dealing with the issue of there was people, the Jews, who had slipped into those churches up there in the land of Galatia or Gaul. Some say that was sort of the precursors of those that were of French derivation. And Apostle Paul was dealing with the issue that after he had left preaching and establishing those churches, that these Jewish men went into those churches secretly. They were acting like Christians. They were acting like brethren. But what they were doing is they were secretly, behind the scenes, they were bringing in a different spirit and a different gospel and a different Jesus into those churches. And what they were doing was they were teaching the people up there that, okay, yes, you call yourself saved, but really, you're not really as saved as you need to be unless you go back and start trying to keep the Old Testament law. And the mark of that keeping of the Old Testament law was the sign of circumcision, physical circumcision. And so Paul was dealing with that issue. Paul was not nice about it either. He mentioned there in Galatians chapter 1, he said, if any man brings in any other gospel than we preach, he said, let him be accursed. And he said, I'm going to say it again. Though we or an angel from heaven bring any other gospel into this church, he said, let them be accursed. And he meant exactly what he said. And I'm here to tell you this morning that works added to your salvation is cursed by God. God hates it. Christ did all the works for us on the cross. And the truth of it is, while you boast about how good you are and about how you don't do this and you don't watch this TV show anymore and you've got your dress longer than you used to and you got your hair combed better than you used to, while you boast about all these little things that you're saying that you're doing for the glory of God that shows your Christianity, the truth of it is you are adding works to salvation by way of you think that in doing these things, God's going to bless you more than He is blessing somebody else that is saved. And that's a lie. The greatest blessings that you'll ever get in your life will never come on the tail end of you doing something that you thought was good for God. They will come as a result of you lying down on your face before God, crying out unto Him, bawling your eyes out, saying, God, I'm worthless, I'm helpless, I have need. God, I realize that I cannot do for myself. God, I need Your help this hour. If You don't give it to me, God, I'm sunk, I'm out, I have no hope whatsoever. That's when God shows up. Not when we're at our best. God shows up at His strongest when we are at our worst. Can I hear you say amen? In Galatians chapter 3, Paul attached witchcraft and the understanding of witchcraft to works-based grace or works-based blessings or works salvation. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who came into your church and cast a witchcraft spell and a witchcraft spirit over you and over your church, telling you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? And he said in verse 2, this only would I learn of you. He said, I want to know one thing from you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? When God came into your soul and God spoke peace to your soul and the Holy Ghost bore down on you and put you under the pressure and the guilt and the stain of your own sin. When God did that for you, was it because you were keeping the Passover? Was it because you decided to go get yourself circumcised? Was it because you were honoring the feast or you were resting on the Sabbath day or whatever it was? When God came and had mercy on you and delivered you from your transgressions and He put His Spirit in you, did he do that because you were doing good, or did He do it because you had done evil? Which is it? And I'm asking you that question. You ask yourself the question. When God came and delivered me from my transgressions, was I not still in my transgressions? And you can't, and here's what we do. We put on a robe of self-righteousness around ourselves. We justify our own deeds. We justify our own doings. I preached that last Sunday night. We maybe even become a partaker of some religious service somewhere, whether it's Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, some of the cults that are out there, even Roman Catholicism. We join ourselves with some religious program somewhere and we do works and we do good deeds and we think, well, surely this is racking up merit points between me and God. And all the while, God says, well, yeah, that it's kind of, I see you doing good things, but hold it. Hold on a second. You just lied to your neighbor So now, according to Ezekiel 33, I'm going to take all the good deeds that you've done and I'm tossing them away. Now you have nothing. Well, I need to go out and do some more good deeds. So you go out, you mow your neighbor's grass, or you give money to charity, or you pay your taxes, or you do some kind of thing that you think is nice, or you go into a church and you bow and you pray, or you cross yourself, or you give money, or you decide you're going to trim the trees out here, or you're going to do some sort of religious act that a man tells you to do, and you think that you're racking up points with God, and God favors you because you did good deeds. And I'm here to tell you, the moment that you thought that thought about somebody, the moment you said those words that were wrong, the moment you coveted something that didn't belong to you, like your neighbor's wife, God took them all away. You have nothing. I'm telling you something, you're sitting in this church house, and you have nothing with which to show God that you're a good person. Can I hear God's people say amen? I do not have a church full of people who have good, positive potential. I do not have a church full of people who are good people. You do not have somebody standing behind this pulpit that is a dynamic, awesome, good, and good-looking person. Me standing up here preaching a message to you is not winning brownie points with God. God does not bless me more than He does you because, well, you're just the little guy sitting in the pew. But me up here, see how higher up I am than you are? That's obvious that God is blessing me more than He is the rest of you guys. And that's just how, you just have to deal with that. That's not how it is. God gets me like He gets everybody else. I am not, when God called your pastor to this church, He called one of you. Somebody that was just like you. And your mind's probably going, you mean, yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know what you're thinking, but it could be true. Let me tell you, when witchcraft comes into a church, I think this is what I'm preaching that I'm going to be done. Let me tell you, when witchcraft comes into a church, I do not want this church bewitched. I will not let somebody come in here and teach you something that says, now if you perform this, or if you do this, or if you act like this, then God will give you greater blessings. I won't let it happen. I won't let
anybody come in here and say, now, everybody, you say you're saved, and yes, I believe that, but if you just spoke in unknown tongues, boy, you'd really have you a good dose of the Spirit, then you'd really be super saved. I won't let them come in here and teach that nonsense. I won't let somebody come in here and teach you that the right way to pray is that you have to empty your mind, you have to go into this little trance, and it probably takes a lot of practice and a lot of work to get it right. And then when you do, you're going to bypass the cross. You're going to go past the mediator of Christ because you don't need Him anymore. And you're going to go directly to God because you have performed prayer exercises in the right way. I won't let anybody come in here and teach that. I won't preach it. I won't let somebody, and don't get me wrong, I think women ought to look like women, and women and men ought to look like men. What? Where did that go? I think women ought to dress and look like women. I think men ought to dress and look like men. I think men ought to have short hair. Hey, nature teaches you that. Amen? If you don't believe that, look at George and Jared here. Nature done took over. Took over the crop. I believe women ought to have long hair, and I'm not here to judge how long or how long the hair has to be. Because I've been to Africa, and I'm telling you, most of those women cannot have the long hair that some of you ladies have over here. They just can't have it. But what I'm telling you is, I believe in standards. I believe there are things on TV you ought not watch, movies you should not go to, music you should not listen to, people you should not follow on Facebook, political people that you shouldn't bow down to. I believe in all these things. But I will not let somebody come in here and teach you that if you throw out your TV, you get rid of your radio and your iTunes account, and you do all this and you don't do nothing but sit around and read the Bible all day long, that if you do this, then God is going to bless you more than He blesses other people. I won't let somebody like that come in here and teach that. I will not let somebody come in here and teach you that if you act like you live higher than other people, then obviously you are higher than other people and God is blessing you more than He is blessing somebody that is not wearing what you're wearing or acting the way you're acting or does not smell the way you smell. I have been part of that most of my life. And all it does is breed pride, and pride goeth before destruction. Some of the most high and lifted up preachers in our country, as far as fundamentalists goes, as far as morals and standards goes, have been found out to be adulterers, pornographers, child molesters, sodomites, drunkards, and thieves. But they wore a suit every Sunday. And they had the hair cut short. And they said all the right words and did all the right things. But their heart was not right with God. I'm going to tell you, that's a form of witchcraft. There are two religions in this world. Two. Only two. There is Bible Christianity and a works-based religion that says if you do this, then God will bless you. That's what witchcraft is. Brother Pastor Kelly came and he preached a series of messages here one time. And the first message he preached a few years ago, first thing out of his mouth, he said there's two religions in this world. Do and done. Our faith and our belief says that it's already been done. Christ did it. And Christ did it better than you ever could. Amen? Hey, you say, well, I feed the hungry. Yeah, well, try feeding 5,000 of them with five loaves of fish. You pull that one out, then I'll think you're really something. Amen? He did it better than you can anyway. He's already done it. By the way, He's still feeding the hungry. Amen? He's still giving to the poor. He's still blessing. He's still healing the sick, by the way. Somebody say amen. And for anybody to think that if they perform... You know how they get people to speak in tongues in these churches? Can I tell you how they do that? I have an old friend that his salvation experience was done in a United Pentecostal church. And he said, Mike, he said, I just felt under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I need to be saved. I was lost and dying, going to hell. He said, I went to the altar. And he said, they said they led me to the Lord and I was saved. But they said, but you're not really saved yet. Here's what we got to do. We got to get you speaking in tongues. Now, right then and there, I thought that it was the Holy Ghost that gave him utterance. He said, what they did was they stood me up and they said, now raise your hands. He raised his hands. He said, now start saying hallelujah. So he said it. He said, did I got the tongues yet? No. Now say it again. He said it again. And they said, say it faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. Say it over and over and over and over again. And he said, what happened was my tongue got so tied, stuff started coming out of my face. I didn't know what it was. And they said, woo! He's got it! Oh, bless God! He's really saved now because he performed! That's witchcraft. God hates it. I hate it. Anybody who is crippled will say they don't like it when people that walk think that they're the only ones who should get salvation. That's what it amounts to. And I'm here to tell you, God hates witchcraft. Paul said, who hath bewitched you? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that by doing better deeds and good deeds that God's going to save you more? Or do you think, like Paul said, if I could just believe the Bible and hear it and read it, God will bless me. Because that's what he said. And I was going to preach a message on abiding in faith. I may do it tonight. I don't know. I may do something different. But I'm going to say to you, I'm going to reach out to those of you either here, listening, wherever you are. You have beat yourself up for months and years now, trying to convince yourself that if you just stopped doing things that are bad, then God would receive you.
I'm going to reach out to you and I'm going to tell you, you will find out what hopefully everybody in this room has already found out. If you could stop being bad, you wouldn't need for God to reach out and save you. Christ, when He saved me, and when He saved my wife, and when He saved my mother and father-in-law, when He saved my mom, when He saved my dad, when He saved my dad had a beer-drinking habit that he could not shake, and it was killing him. And he told you, Sterling, on the way down to deer hunting, if God hadn't delivered me from drinking that old rotten beer, I'd be dead today. God did not demand of my daddy that he stop drinking beer and then I'll save you. That's not what He said. He said, I'll save you if you'll just ask me and you'll trust me that I'm the one that can deliver you from your sins and you can't do it yourself. There's somebody, I hope you're listening today. I hope you're watching right now. I hope you're listening. You sent me a message. I haven't responded to it yet. But what you told me was you have been struggling with some issue. You're trying to lead your family right, and it's really got you, and you're thinking about giving up. You're thinking about quitting because you're wanting desperately to end a sinful lifestyle that you're in right now. And you can't. And I'm here to tell you, unless God delivers you, you will not be able to deliver yourself. Who'll say amen to that? Amen. Christ didn't die for the good people. If He did, He died for no one, for all have sinned. Christ died for sinners, of whom Paul said, I am chief. You know what that does? That takes the pressure off of you. You're not now the worst sinner in the world, though you feel like it. And you can rest assured, if you'll come to Bethel or listen to what's coming out of this church, as long as I got anything to say about it, you're not going to hear witchcraft. You're not going to hear works. You're not going to hear, now perform this and do this. If you do this, then God might show up. You're not going to hear that from here. What you're going to hear is, let me give you the Word of God, because I know the Word of God will do things in you that nobody can do. How do you think old Malcolm over here got saved? How do you think he did that? Did he decide to pull himself up by his own bootstraps and make himself a better person and get a job and do all this stuff? And then got, no, God went down while he was dead and picked him back up. That's how God does it. Saul refused that. Saul wanted to get by on his own merits. And God cast him out and cursed him. Don't be Saul. Don't think that it's by your own merits. Because Saul was delivered over to witchcraft. He said, if that's how you're going to be, this is your religion right here. God saves sinners. God heals sick people. He does not wait for you to get well and then give you medicine that you never get sick again. He heals sick people. God does things that cannot be done by any man or any church or any religion. And He does it by way of His Word. And I'm just going to ask you a very simple question. Will you believe what God said in this book and forsake everything else? If you will, God will give you His Holy Spirit. He'll give you healing. He'll give you life. He will pick you up. He will do things for you. Jesus, you were talking about John chapter... I'm helping you preach here, Malcolm. You were talking about John chapter 3. Lazarus has been in that tomb 4 days. Ask yourself the question, how can a man that's been dead 4 days get up out of the tomb on his own and walk out? Can't. Only the Word of God can do that. That's the message. I want you to bow your head.